All right. Welcome to the Patreon Q&A for the month of May 2023. We do these every month, as you already know. Anyone who wants to ask a question or make a comment can request to speak, and I will accept them in the order that they are received. We have a pretty low-key portion of the development cycle right now. We've been working on technical features in the background. Not a lot of flashy stuff. We pushed out a lot of flashy stuff for April to hit the April Fool's deadline. And we are back into working on the underpinnings. We have a bit of a push going on with AI right now. We have work being done on voice controller stuff, some navigation issues, platoon logic, various bug fixes. We've got a bit of multiplayer stuff going on. There's quite an array of things that won't pay off immediately. So when the next patch does arrive, it'll probably just have a little bit of new content, some new missions, technical fixes, and then the rest of the stuff is still cooking. So just a heads up if you're wondering how that's going. Not a lot that I can show, but I will come up with some kind of teaser by the end. And, we're also getting an audio overhaul as well for explosions. You might have noticed that the current explosions, especially for artillery and stuff, they sound a little treble heavy sometimes. They're a little, almost metallic, I guess. That's getting another pass, so should be some good quality of life improvements coming. We will have them ready when they're ready, of course. Sebek, you are on the stage.
Oh, hello everybody.
How's it going?
Oh, can you hear me, guys? Sorry.
Yes.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. So my question is, do you planning to introduce more music tracks and the crew voices into the basically 1.0 version? Because it seems to be like a highlight of the game, would make it very cinematic.
It's certainly possible. We're working on putting together an OST for the game, and there's no cutoff for the music, so if we decide that we want more tracks, we can always get those made. Assuming Majora's is still available to help and all that. So I wouldn't say we've seen the last of the new music. As far as the crew voices, yeah, there's a bunch of crew voices that we have recorded that are not hooked up yet. Like crews reacting to damage and things like that. And then there's also the German script is not fully revised yet. We have the preliminary version, as we mentioned. And then the Russian script is still being made, so... Or not the script, the script is done. The Russian voice recording is still being done, so... There's a lot of future changes coming for that.
Oh, no, that's definitely a good thing, because recently I actually introduced a colleague of mine to the game, and he was like, oh man, that's neat, you know? So that was his first reaction when the music kicks in and all the screaming.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Something what people will enjoy, even if you provide them more, even different crews for different nations, and like you have a set of mixed voices, if that's possible, of course.
Yeah, that's very cool. We are pretty happy with the way it goes as well.
Righty. Thank you very much in that case.
Thank you. TJ, you are on.
Hello. On the topic of music, will the April Fool's track, will that ever return?
It's likely. I like that track a lot. I'm not sure if we'll put it in just straight up, or if we'll save it for situations that are like extra intense.
I do think it shouldn't be a normal track. It should be a special track, because it's, I don't know the music term, but it's, I'm going to call it a remix. I know it's wrong. Don't hunt me down. But because it's the it's based off of the main theme. I do feel like it does work really well as like I guess critical points in a campaign.
Yeah, it does the video game music theme where when you hit like the most critical moment, it starts to throw in motifs from the main theme just so you recognize. Yeah. So,
So, in other words, every time the T-34 shows up.
yeah. Basically, every time you're targeting an Abrams, that it's a really cool theme. I like it a lot. Majora's really hit it out of the park. We came to him in April and or in March and said, "Hey, look, we want to do April Fool's missions and we want to have new music for him. Can you like cook something up for that? That's a little more intense than the other ones somehow." And he's like, "Yeah, I'll see what I can do." And then he just came out with that banger. So,
Oh yeah,
classic Majora's W.
it's really nice with the tracks when the third the one before the most intense one is like sounds even better somehow. But I think that just kind of comes down to like how intense it is.
Yeah, it's because the fourth layer is usually like the percussion turns up to 100, but then the
Yeah.
one before that has most of the musical elements beside that, and so you get like you get the emotion of it, but not all the beats and everything. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's cool.
It's also kind of shame with the all the music on SoundCloud that it's only a layer four,
Oh
I
yeah, well
believe.
we're making we're getting mixes made for an OST, which will
Oh,
have
nice.
multiple layers and transition between them in a kind of a logical way. So we should eventually have mixes of all the songs that have or all the tracks rather that have multiple layers available.
Nice.
Alrighty. Any other question?
Not right now.
All right.
Oh, looks.
Joe, wait. Sebek got first. There we go. Sebek, you're up.
Hello again. Do you guys plan to introduce some other vehicles, not like playable, but for example, MTLB or M88, so it's kind of a part of the battlefield. You can get across it and blow it up.
There's gonna be other kinds of playable vehicles, but they'll mostly be similar to what we have. So, either troop carriers or things that can destroy tanks will be the main focus. For example, we have that 9P133 missile carrier with the retractable Malyutka rack. That vehicle, I just.
Angry Wally, isn't it? That's what it is.
Yeah, but angry Soviet Wally.
Okay.
And then because it's a BRDM with the secret compartment,
Oh, okay,
and
yeah.
then there's also the M901, which is the classic Angry Wally. Those vehicles, I've seen them being tested recently. They are looking very good, very nearly complete. So you never know. Some of them might make an appearance soon. But yeah, there will be more kinds of vehicles. It'll just probably stick toward things that can meaningfully affect the game.
Yeah, this definitely MTLB because that thing was very prevalent in the Soviet doctrine. Anything, in the front line will move with that.
Yeah, the MTLB, it's a cool vehicle. It was used for a lot of different roles. It has a lot of configurations. There's the Strela and everything for the short range anti-aircraft. There's just the regular workhorse version with the PK and nothing else on it. Or I think it might have been a PK. Maybe it was a Dushka, I don't remember.
Oh no,
Anyway.
PKT isn't.
Right. So yeah, there's so many different variants. In Project Reality, they had a few of them, and it was affectionately known as the shitbox, which it's armored against small arms, and it carries weapons. It can get a lot of work done. Shitboxes are the backbone of any mechanized fighting force. So yeah, there's a very strong chance that we'll see MTLBs in the future. It's just not on the first batch that we made.
Okay. Another question regarding the missions. Do you plan to push with some of the bigger and steeper missions? Like I really enjoy the final of the year, April Fools, is really challenging, but it was nice to actually crack that nut. So it's definitely maybe a good idea to push with more content like that.
We definitely do want to move toward bigger missions eventually. There are some performance issues to work out. We have made some strides in that, actually. I forgot to mention, because we've done so many things in the background between the mid-April patch and now. One of those things was we prototyped a system that allows us to spawn in additional waves of vehicles during a mission so that you don't have the performance hit for the whole time. That's kind of a stopgap measure because we're trying to make all the vehicles more efficient in general so that you can have more vehicles live at once. But in the meantime, we might be able to make multi-stage missions and more lengthy scenarios just using that. So that's kind of exciting.
Well, that's actually very good, but well, it's probably me because I'm kind of a fan of the anytime games, and for me to deal with certain missions is like a cakewalk. But I really, really enjoy when when the really you face the problem. So push on, guys, with the most difficult ones. Right, thank you.
Thank you. Next up, we have Joe the Pirate.
Hey.
How's it going, matey?
So, well, it's going. So, a couple questions as usual. So, one, and this is more just a curiosity about how the game sees things. Like, how does the game decide how accurate the AI gets to be? Because obviously, if the AI wanted to, it could just pinpoint nail you every time. But then there's obviously that balance between that and they're absolutely useless.
So there are
Like, how.
several things going on with the AI. This is one of those systems that's it's actually fairly sophisticated, and I wish there was a way to show it without being like just have the game straight up tell you how it works. The AI have multiple layers of accuracy mechanism. First of all, for detection, they're affected by a bunch of things, including their optics, the time of day, whether the target is moving or not, whether the target has lights on. And then once you get past all that, when they're firing at a target, they have the gun dispersion, which is usually very small. We don't have like clapped out barrels or anything. They're all like factory. And then there is the aiming inaccuracy, in precision and then in consistency. So the AI gunner can misjudge the range or the lead by a certain amount, and it depends which tank. Some of them have fire control systems that do a lot of that work for you, so they have less margin of error. But something like a T-55, there's a significant chance of over or underestimating the range as well as the lead. And then once you get past that, the gunner also has a radius of like whether they match the ideal aiming point that they've calculated. And that one can shrink over time. So they will adjust the walk their aim point on to the target with subsequent shots on the same target. So it's very kind of human-like in the end. Not it's not perfect. They still it's still an algorithm and it's a machine trying to act like a person, but it's pretty similar mechanically to how people aim at stuff. And again, there's no way to tell looking at it, but that's how we coded it.
Yeah, like I've definitely noticed that, like that walking their shots onto target thing. Like it's I was trying to figure out what they were doing because every so often I'll just watch the AI play around. And like I like the thing one of the gunnery guys about how they're expert with the Melyuka, and that is definitely true. And then this is more of a like kind of far future question when it comes to campaign. Have you guys thought about how the battlefield itself might evolve? Like maybe at the start of the campaign, the maps look like they do now, but as the campaign progresses, buildings start getting knocked down, there starts being pre-existing artillery craters and burnt out husks, or is that getting too much into the far future territory?
I would say both things are true. We have thought about it, and it is getting into future territory. We do a lot of brainstorming. There are some days where we're just chilling, working on stuff, and we get in a what-if mood. Mm-hmm. So all the classic ideas, like persistent damage and different kinds of new destruction and whatever, different effects, we've talked about all of them several times. And what we've learned to do is mentally place things in boxes. Like, what can be done quickly or now versus what needs another piece of tech in order to work versus what needs a lot of art in order to function. So, like, destruction of buildings and terrain and stuff, that's a big art problem and a small tech problem. And, you know, the fact that you need a bunch of people to work on it to make it happen puts it in the far future box. But we are still gamers and creatives at heart, so we do daydream about these things, and if there comes a time when we've finished the core to our satisfaction and we're looking for ways to spice it up, then that list comes back out on the table and we'll go for it.
Yeah, I definitely fear, you know, you guys have had a few years working on this and you've probably thought about just about anything people could throw at you, so I'm always curious what's looking like it's on the chopping block. So excited to see what comes next.
Yeah, it's all pretty exciting. It's just kind of a thing we've gotten used to, that we have to temper our excitement for certain things, or just accept that they won't happen immediately. And then there's some things that, like, you wouldn't think from the outside that they'd be a big deal, but then they are anyway. Like, if somebody were to give us a 3D scan for a vehicle that's already in the game, that's a much different process than for a vehicle that we haven't made yet. Because then it's a matter of, like, a revision just because we noticed that it's slightly off, versus we're making it anyway, we might as well make it accurate. And then the art team will be less willing to redo a vehicle that's already in if it's not, like, significantly badly off. You know, just there's a lot of stuff you wouldn't necessarily think of. But then once we're actually in it and trying to decide where to devote our time, everything becomes... it's all weighed against each other, you know?
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, especially talking about that vehicle example, I know you've said in past Q&As you guys aren't really interested in rivet counting, like that whole thing with the MRE boxes that ended up being a bit of a joke.
Yeah, that was like I think that was the moment where we doubled down on that policy, where even if we are shown that something is inaccurate, if it's not something that affects the core gameplay or, like, the experience of doing the gunnery, it's low priority. And we definitely reserve the right to say, like, we don't think that matters.
Yeah, no, that makes a ton of sense. And, you know, like right now, like you said, you guys are prioritizing 1.0, so it's all about adding those actual features versus, you know, a couple little things that are, you know, just on the cool side.
Yep, you can definitely see... Well, you can't see. If you were on the team, you could definitely see the effects of that philosophy right now, because what we're working on day-to-day is very future-oriented and very much geared toward spooling up additional tech avenues that we haven't finished yet. Like, most of the time, I have a balance between making new stuff and helping people with other tasks. This past month, I've been mostly working on helping other people because we've been onboarding new contractors and making new features happen. And the amount of work that I've been doing kind of solo, you know, just sitting in my room and making new things, that's gone down significantly, just because of how much other stuff is happening in parallel. It's an interesting time. Not a lot of flashy things going on, but it'll all pay off.
Yeah, no, it's all about laying the groundwork, and that's exciting to hear the team's expanding, because you guys have always had a lot on your plate. But I will I'll leave the stage to whoever else has a question in that case.
Alrighty. Thanks for your questions.
Yep. Thank you.
Yeah, I know I mentioned multiplayer earlier. That is one of the things that's being worked on, but that one's such a long burn. I don't want anybody to get like super excited about it, like, oh, we're about to have multiplayer, because it's still very early in testing. There's a lot that needs to be accounted for before we're even ready for, you know, unofficial test builds, let alone a full rollout. When it does happen, I think we'll still try to give it to patrons first, though. As soon as there's something that's, like, reasonably close to a working multiplayer mode, we will remember who gives us extra support. Sebek, you are back on.
So my question is, do you have any leaks for us on MI24 or infantry, or you cannot say anything?
We do. Let's see. Did I post it in the whip
You
teasers?
Posted some MI24.
I posted the pilots.
Yeah.
Yep, we have those guys. I mean, the MI24, I'll just say the MI24 is basically done. We didn't finish it up in time for April Fool's, or we didn't have any idea how to use it in April Fool's missions, considering they were BMP2 themed. We didn't really want the MI24 to be stealing the show, flying around, killing all your targets, so we elected to roll the Cobra out instead. But as some people have seen in teasers, we have the audio done for the MI24, we have the model done, now we have the pilots done. If we go in and hook up a couple of missing connections, like the missiles, and make sure that the flight parameters are correct, we could have a working Hind in very little time from now. I'm not sure if that'll make it into the next patch per se, because I think there are, again, some NVA themed missions that have priority right now. But the next time there's a situation where a Hind makes sense, I would expect to see one before too long.
Right, and how about the troops and infantry? Is that far away?
Infantry is constantly being worked on. We're at the point now where the technical side of it is very close to finish. The animations are looking good. They can use different kinds of weapons. They can switch weapons. I've watched a guy with an M16 and a law on his back see a BMP. He took the law off his back and killed the BMP and then continued moving. It was, they're functional. But we have some optimization issues with them. They are currently running on a pretty full unit system, just like all the vehicles are. And they have the full ballistics model and everything else. It's kind of overkill. So as soon as you get multiple squads, it really starts to choke the game. I think we have an 8v8 test. Once the shooting starts, like, if they can all see each other and they're all shooting at each other, it starts to bog the game down. And obviously that's not okay, because we need a lot of troops to really sell the mechanized infantry, you know, scenario. So we're working on making lightweight versions of different systems so that we can actually have a bunch of troops fighting at once and not affect the gameplay. So I don't know how long that's going to take. Infantry is not too far from done, but it's also, like, we don't know how long that last stage will go.
Yeah, no, it's understandable, but for me personally, that's going to be, I think, one of the biggest milestones as a player, because that's going to redefine everything, you know, how you play it. So,
yeah, a lot of people share that opinion. I remember somebody made an unofficial poll in the Discord recently about, like, what features from the roadmap are you most excited for, and aside from multiplayer, which is predictable, a lot of people were excited for infantry. I was surprised how many.
Well, fair play. So I'm going to wait patiently.
Yep, that's all I can do. All right. Thanks for your question.
No worries.
Okay. We're coming up on halfway. Once again, just whatever question or thing you want to say, hop in. Next up, we've got TJ.
Hello again. So going back to helicopters, something teasers with power lines. Will those power lines have collision models?
They don't right now. I'm not sure if they will. I think for now we'll just take the approach of making the helicopters avoid going low enough for power lines, but you know, who knows?
Yeah, that's fair. But and also with helicopters, because like right now there's, I think, because they're controlled like in the same way of as like regular vehicles, right? They're not like spawned in like with the jets.
Helicopters are actually full regular units in the game. They just have a different mode of moving.
So how does that play into like cast mechanics and requesting cast? Would they just be like just? Will they eventually just be spawned in, or are they just like chilling in the corner of a map somewhere to finally come assist you?
Well, currently the helicopters all exist in the map at the beginning of the mission. But like I said, we did make a system in this past month for releasing new waves of vehicles during the missions. So it's likely that in the future we'll have helicopters arrive during the scenario instead of just being there and pretending they don't exist. But yeah, they're full-fledged units. They don't do the whole cast thing where they spawn in from, you know, some theoretical airbase off the map and then despawn when they go back. And they will not be cast, as far as I know. They'll have their own reason for being there, and they'll operate on their own terms, and then you will just have to deal with their presence.
So they're not going to be treated as close air support as far as the player is concerned.
I don't think so. I don't think so, unless it gets to the point of like finer control over the battlefield. Like, we do have an idea that eventually you'll be able to redraw the tactical approaches for different platoons. This isn't 100% confirmed, but our current thinking is that instead of having an invisible battle plan and then watching all the AI carry it out, we want to make it visible on the map if you want to see it, and then eventually make it modifiable. And then if that's the case, then I imagine helicopters would fall into that, and you'd be able to summon a helicopter like, hey, I really need you over here, go hunt.
Yeah, because I think I need to read up on the doctrine, but like from my understanding, like with at least with NATO, it's calling in helicopter support would be this essentially be the same as aircraft, as or fixed wing.
I have not read the doctrine in a minute, so
yeah, and I think so. Soviet's different. I remember that. I think it fixed wing is just straight up no, get fucked. You don't get any direct support. It's all just like coordinated with higher headquarters, but I think maybe helicopters allows for that that point, but that's also where it goes into, you know, game balance and decisions.
Yeah, plus like none of this is set in stone. We could always get there and then decide, you know what, it would be cool to actually have the cast button have a random chance of summoning a Cobra instead of an A-10 or whatever.
Yeah, because I mean, I feel like, because again, with like casts, like it's not really, you know, you're not really thinking fixed wing, you know, 500 pound, I guess 250 pounder bombs. It's more just like aircraft of some kind, help me blow up this fucker that's annoying me.
Yeah, and that is probably not changing. Like we planned from the beginning that the cast button is just I need air support, and then some air controller who you don't see or talk to decides like who's free in the rotation and then sends somebody to help.
I mean realistically, like the game's really at a platoon level, so that wouldn't be something that you as the player would be coordinating anyway.
Yeah, it's not like the the Delta 1-1 tank gets on the net and says, give me an A-10 specifically with Mavericks and come in from this area. Like, say Nanito support.
What was it? Like, not Fist, but the JTACs or whatever. They're a company asset, right?
Recall exactly.
More my point being, they're not in platoon, so therefore right. The commander, the player, would not be the one controlling it, so that does give room for leeway.
Yeah.
I guess on another note, do you think something we'll see is maybe like that JTAC or a Fist or Forward Observer be modeled as a vehicle to then be killed and then deny the enemy or yourself support?
That's a good question, and we have done some internal discussion about that. Earlier when I was saying that the playable vehicles will be troop carriers or things that can kill tanks, that was a generalization. We are looking at a couple of slightly offbeat options as well, and one of those is spotter vehicles. Specifically, I think the Fist V would be the main one for the U.S., and then for the Soviet-type forces, there's like this thick MTLB. I don't remember what it was called. I think it had a 13. Anyway, they have like... they have all kinds of stuff, though. That's like vehicles that are specifically designed to just see stuff and report where it is. And that would have its own potential different kind of gameplay. Like, you know the instant action mission where you're a BRDM and you have to spot positions and call artillery on them? It would be kind of like that, but more fleshed out. You'd probably have more precision in how you call support. You'd probably be able to get a precise map ping instead of just having to guess with the usual systems.
Honestly, I like the guessing system. It's just there's no way to correct for fire missions. It's just an immediate fire for effect. Yeah. I can't like throw out spotting rounds.
Right. So the artillery system, it still could get a lot more detailed, of course. If we go down that route, and especially if we have spotting vehicles, we'll probably end up having a kind of a difference in ability for the spotting vehicles versus the regular vehicles, like being able to make more precise calls or have more tools for effective fire. Then there's also an AI system being developed. This is like a more long-term one where they have kind of a tactical awareness and communicate information rather than each vehicle being like its own independent automaton that looks around till it sees something and then shoots at it.
And it doesn't see anything because it's like conveniently at a wrong angle.
Yeah, right. Yeah. If they turned the turret 5 more degrees, they would see you, but they didn't.
I think right now the biggest flaw with the AI is that I don't think the scanning does any azimuth. So like the sights are like 5 degrees too up. Oh, you're not gonna see it.
Visually it looks like that, but they actually have a very large vertical field of view to account for that. So that's not really actually going to affect it. But that's because each AI tank still has like one vision cone, like very basic mechanic.
Yeah, there's a lot more big stuff with AI that kind of need to be changed before those kind of tweaks.
So the two big ones for AI behavior are one, that when we have separate crew roles or when we do more work on crew roles, the commander will be represented in the AI vehicles and will have a lower like zoom level kind of than the gunner using gunner sight, but we'll be able to see a broader area, especially if he's unbuttoned and using just turning his head around. That's gonna get rid of the, you know, I parked 500 meters away on the flank and shot them in the side and they didn't notice me. And then the battlefield information, like, oh, we got engaged from over here, tell the other platoons, and now everybody's kind of looking for you in that direction. That's something that doesn't exist right now. They have some limited inter-vehicle comms right now for, like, You might have noticed if you engage a platoon from the flank, the other vehicles that you didn't shoot yet, they start looking for you.
Eventually, notice you.
Yeah, so it's very primitive right now, but eventually that will get expanded to, like, if somebody survives long enough to make a radio call, everybody will know that something happened and roughly where you were shooting from. So that'll start to make the enemy able to look for you more effectively, but then also the stretch goal is to make them able to recreate their plan on the fly. And I can't make any promises here because this gets more into, like, strategic layers, and those are very difficult to do convincingly. But yeah. Ideally, we'd have, like, an RTS-style AI controlling the battle, so that if you say, I'm going to do a pro-gamer move, I'm going to flank them and upset their whole plan, they will eventually start adapting to that and sending people your way instead of just being like, oh, I guess we'll die now.
You just mine the fuck out of the out-of-bounds areas.
Right. And so in the context of all those systems, all that sidetracking to say, like, spotting vehicles would have a place, especially as we make the AI smarter, because information would be very important in that situation. And so a vehicle that just goes around slurping up information and making reports and calling in fire is it suddenly becomes really nice to have.
Yeah, especially because, I mean, I can't think of any other games that are even, like, even have infantry. So, like, just with that heavier emphasis on, you know, actual combined arms, I do think that is a worthwhile endeavor.
Yeah, for sure. Alrighty.
I've been here a while. Shoot.
I was gonna say thanks for the question. Very cool topics, for sure. And
Fox, get in here.
Yep.
Hello.
Hey.
All right. Well, heck, TJ, you've already touched on many of the questions I had, so I'll be just pretty much adding to them. All right. Well, let's see. I was going to start off with, you know, continue on with air support. Once they get called in or random units come into the battlefield, will they linger for a while? And until their ammo runs out or until the field itself becomes too dangerous?
There is a loiter mechanic for Cass, but it's not functioning the way it's intended, I don't think, right now. I think you might have noticed if you call in air support and they can't see a target, they just kind of circle around. They're meant to give up eventually. And also, I think we'll be improving their flight patterns. We rushed that feature pretty hard for April Fools. There's some oddness in how they behave in certain situations that obviously we recognize we're gonna improve on it. But yeah, the casts will only get smarter and more realistic over time.
Excellent. Yeah, it's already a lot of fun. Looking forward to seeing how else it plays out.
Yep.
All right. Let's see. I think TJ touched on this a little bit here too. I think there's plans for, like, random flights as they enter the battlefield. There's chances that they could actually engage the battle. Or is there any plans for things like that?
Sorry, when what enters the battle?
When random air units into the battlefield. Like,
oh,
right,
like
we
the
just
flyovers.
Have to fly through. Yeah.
Our thing with those is they're meant to be kind of decorative. Like, they give you an impression that there's a larger war happening and they're kind of on their way through to do other stuff. So I don't think they'll be able to divert and do, you know, direct actions in your battle. It's more of a scenery piece.
Gotcha. It looks quite nice.
Yeah, it's always fun to see it.
Oh yeah.
Plus, that allows us to have other kinds of flights that don't make any sense for Cass. Like, I don't know, you might see a plane flying by and it's decked out for a multi-role thing, and it's very clearly not a ground attack plane or whatever. We have some things I don't know when or if we'll put them in, but we definitely have some planes in the works that are not typically associated with CAS, and maybe you'll see them flying by anyway, and it'll just be a cool sighting.
All right, excellent. Let's see. I do have one other question for you here. You know, as the game continues to progress here, do you have any plans for more variety of targets? Like, for raid missions, example, in our current campaign here, there's just infantry transports. I think there's a chance we might be able to see other kinds of vehicles or assets in the game, such as, like, artillery units, vehicles with ammo, fuel, just anything else that's fun to shoot.
We have considered it. It's kind of one of those things where, since it requires a bunch of new models to be made, we can't say yes or no until we know how much workload the art team has.
Yes, always give them more work.
I mean, there's always lots of stuff that they can be tasked with, but it's one of those things, like, if I tell the art team, hey, make a bunch of supply trucks and SPGs and stuff, and then I say, oh, by the way, there's a problem with the T-72 hatch. Well, now they have to drop all that stuff and do, you know, like, it's constant switching back and forth becomes annoying for anyone, so we try to keep a little bit of flexibility open and not get people really entrenched in a, oh, wouldn't it be cool if we could use this eventually, but, you know, now they're not available anymore.
Oh, yeah. Like, some of those bugs are were actually rather entertaining, like the flying tanks and the Abrams tanks swinging out when you drive forward.
Yeah, they're entertaining for, like, one day, and then after that, after that, I get tired of looking at the same bug reports over and over, so.
Very fair. All right, well, that's really all I had off memory, so
Alrighty.
I'll pass it on to the next one.
All right, thanks for the questions. Next up is Joe the Pirate.
Yeah, I'm back because the talk about air support brought something to mind. So I was playing the current version of what used to be the 4th April Fools the other day, and I got friendly fired by my own cast. Is that a deliberate feature, or did I just get super unlucky?
You got super unlucky.
Gotcha. Yeah, because I called it in and wandered kind of close to his area and then lost 2 BMPs to a bomb, so that was... It was one of those things where I'm like... It was definitely the kind of thing where, like, they would make this a deliberate feature.
But... I don't think we have fratricide right now, per se. Unless it's some kind of bug that I'm not aware of. But I don't think they're able to scan the friendly faction for targets.
Yeah, and like I said, I definitely kind of wandered towards where I told them to go bomb, so they probably just misjudged where the BM-60s were or something.
Yeah, it could be.
And then an unrelated thing that just came to me, are we, like, for things like the BMP-1, could we see the ability to do the indirect or semi-indirect with the low velocity gun? Like, you get like the gun tells you, like, oh, you have it angled at 21 point whatever degrees and you're at 76 degrees of rotation.
I don't think we have any plans to do something like that.
Yeah, gotcha. It was just something that I was thinking, because I was trying to hit something with the HE shells that was very much out of range for the standard sight.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately the BMP wasn't meant to be a long range system, so, and I mean, that's why it has the ATGMs, just in case it needs that.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's all I've got for the time being. So thank you.
Alrighty. Let me see if I can find some interesting screenshots. In the meantime, Nico, you're up.
Hey.
Hey.
I don't really have a question. Just to say congrats on the April Fool's patch last time, and on you losing your sanity. with the rest of the team. So that was fun to watch.
Yeah, I'm glad it was fun to watch. At least one of us had fun. It was cool to see that we actually got a bunch of stuff in, that people reacted well to it. That's if anything, there's that.
Okay, it's not really related to the game, but something I've kind of seen for a while. Like people interacting with the game and being like, oh, patch when, and thinking that nothing happens. Have you thought of using like everything you've done on the GitHub? Like old patches, I mean old patches, old pull requests and all of that, using them to make like something to show, hey, this is what a normal month looks like, or, you know, making one of those dumb, like, because you have a few gems in there, so making a dumb like a post to show, hey, look at how we lost our sanity at some point, or something like that. I don't know.
I mean, there are things that we could do regarding that. It becomes an issue of time, though. Like, I haven't even finished the gunnery guides for every vehicle yet. There's very little bandwidth available on the team for things like making additional devlogs. We tend to take an approach where we devote all of our energy to actually working on the game, because the team is still so small compared to what we're trying to do. And then if people want to know what's happening on the game, they can look at the Steam like news feed for the game, like every other game. At a certain point, it's like you kind of make the call that it's not worth it to try to convince people that stuff is happening if they're too lazy to actually look for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. It's diminishing returns.
Okay, so secondary question. Up to what point are we allowed to share stuff publicly from the Patreon?
We can't stop you. It's just poor form.
I mean, it's better to ask.
I mean, look, it's the same as any other Patreon. People are paying for the elevated privilege. If somebody decides to reshare it, you know, don't be a dick about it. Like, don't take stuff from patrons' teasers and slap it in GHPC discussion. We'll probably not appreciate
no,
that.
No.
You know, I'm not saying
still,
you.
I'm still stuck on the GitHub.
Oh, I see. I mean, the GitHub is a developer tool, and just showing it at all means that we have to use certain considerations, like not being too direct in certain commit messages or phrasing things carefully or whatever. Like it already feels like we're making a concession just by having that public in any way, even if just the patrons. I don't think we're going to further put it out there, because I don't know, there's a point where it becomes like, if you're too transparent, people will start thinking they can backseat your management for you and, you know, make judgments about whether you're running the project correctly. And ultimately, I don't feel like dealing with that. So
okay,
I don't think we'll be doing like GitHub feed posts or anything like that. It's like, you know what, we can assume that if somebody is paying the MBT tier to see that feed, they probably believe in the project and they're not going to be haters about it. And it's just going to be like a nice thing, you know, mutually beneficial. And that really skips most of the problems that can come with it. So I think we're going to keep it how it is.
Okay, so last question, then I disappear into the Shadow Realms. So if I do something like a small video where I kind of like this Sims patch notes, where, you know, you have the guy going like, oh, They allowed the students to exit the school when a meteorite is falling on it, when the school is on fire. Now, like, basically something like, I don't remember, like, once I saw something in the GitHub feed that was like, oh yeah, by the way, I turned the sun back on. You know, it's those weird fixes that sometimes you list it and it's like, okay, yeah, games are hard to make.
There's definitely interesting moments that come up. The fun stuff that comes up in the Git feed, it's still, you know, patron exclusive, but I wonder if maybe eventually we would make sort of a retrospective, like, here's some fun moments that happened while we were making the game, here's what some of the processes looked like. That's the kind of thing that would be fun to do once we have more time for it. We have this concept of the DLC phase that will eventually come, where we've hit the roadmap features, we've released 1.0, and we're mostly focused on content and enhancements. And at that point, I think it'll be a lot more fun. Not that it isn't fun right now making the game, but it'll be a little less stress because we won't have to be solving so many hard problems all the time. And it'll be like, let's just get some new vehicles made and some new maps. And let's be creative, put together new campaign ideas, new theaters and conflicts. And during that phase, we'll have a lot more mental bandwidth to do things like, oh, let's look back at what we've been making and come up with some cool moments. What are some fun media ideas?
Okay. I guess you can banish me. So you can have one less person.
Yeah, well, do you have any final thoughts while you're here? Too late. All right. So on that note about media stuff, I actually wanted to mention we have a new initiative starting up, and I'm going to mention this here because it's a pretty small reach, all things considered, and it's not too much of a spoiler. We have made some connections in the industry as we've been working on this game. We've talked to a lot of cool people, a lot of fellow MilSim developers and game developers in general, and we're starting to do interviews with them, or like discussions, almost like podcast style. We've already completed, I mean, we've done a couple interviews on other people's channels, but that was like them graciously allowing us to come on and, you know, shill for the game during this conversation. Like, Enigma did one, Chasmo did one, there may have been another that I'm not remembering. We've started to do these ourselves, though. And the first one is with Y485 of Tiny Combat Arena, and that one is currently in production and editing and stuff. So keep an eye out for that. We're probably going to post on our channel as something of a series, and we'll be talking to additional teams that we've already lined up in the future. That'll be a cool inside look at how stuff is made, how we all kind of think the same or differently about sim gaming, game design, stuff like that. I think it's an aspect of these things that's not usually exposed, like not really talked about up front. Game design is really cool, especially if you're into that sort of thing. And I don't know, just hearing those different perspectives and the conversations and the stories that come out of it, it seems like a fun idea. So yeah, keep an eye out for that. There's a little preview of something that's in the works. We're coming up on 2 o'clock Eastern. That means we are in last questions and leaks time. I see a lot of leak emojis coming up now, so Joe the Pirate, you are on board.
Yeah, I'm back once more with a kind of dumb question. When eventually we get multi-crew, who gets to play with the Loaders 240 on the Abrams?
This is still an unresolved question, because let's be real, if it's not a VR game, playing as the loader would be boring as fuck.
Yeah, just press R every 4 seconds or something.
Yeah, or some kind of QTE for like fast loading versus slow loading. Like, imagine the entire game, all you're doing is the quick time event from Dead by Daylight to start the generator.
I'll pass on that role. I don't think anyone would ever play the loader.
Yeah. Play OSU to load the gun. Exactly. The interesting thing about that is, like you said, they have the 240s. So it would be in the very ideal situation where you have troop targets within range, they would have a machine gun. But at that point, like, still, who's going to sit there for the whole game waiting for the opportunity to do something interesting? I imagine that the Lotus 240 would either be AI, or it would be like an alternate weapon available to one of the other crew roles, like if they want to switch temporarily to the loader perspective to fire that.
Yeah, all right, makes sense. Just like I said, dumb question I want to get out there.
Yeah, I mean, these are all, they're all valid questions. Just some of them, they come up and we're like, oh boy, like, yeah, this thing. But yeah
I hear that. I will leave it to Fox then.
All right, I don't remember if I've ever shown a spotting vehicle. I would show M901 gameplay, but I forgot to record it, so maybe that will show up in cast here soon as we test it. It looks very good in the Murdoch camo, and it has the toes and everything with the updated effects. Speaking of updated effects, a thing that's coming out in the next patch is we did a thing called Fresnel fade on the smoke particles, so that you can no longer see them from the edge when you're looking down a gun sight, and you won't get those like lines that move around as you change your view. That was never meant to be visible anyway. Like, it's a very obvious visual artifact, but there was a problem in our shader stack where if we tried to fix that problem, it would break the entire smoke effect. And obviously it's better to have smoke that looks a little funny sometimes than to not have smoke. So we put it in as it was. We've now fixed that. Our VFX guy figured out the issue, made some changes, and now the next batch of tweaks that's going in the next patch includes fixing all of the weird stuff that happens at flat angles. So that's very cool to see. Just yet another incremental advancement in the visuals. Like, it's hard to notice as it's happening, but if you go and look at what did the Patreon demo look like in, say, June of 21 versus now, it's like, it's such a huge difference. The color balance, the detail, the terrain, the particle effects, everything. So yeah, it's very cool to see that progress. Anyway, enough of me yammering. Let me see if I can find this. Okay, so there's this interesting vehicle called... This one is two work in progress. Okay, so I'm not going to show a spotting vehicle right now. Let's see, what do I have for other stuff that's ready? I'm trying to figure out what's a good leak. Because there's always a balance to be had. Don't want to show anything that's too far in the future or too unfinished. We try to be very conservative about what we post. It's kind of a reverse thing, actually. Like, if you leak the source code, great idea. Excellent. You can always count on the chat to have the best ideas. We used to get people asking to buy the source code. It's actually not happened in a while. I think there's a certain threshold you get to where people realize that it's like a professional project and they're not going to get a yes. But when it was in prototype phase and it was like you know, Josh's unnamed tank game and all that, there would eventually be or occasionally be comments like, can I have the project, or can I have the source code? And then it changed to, can I buy the source code? And then eventually it stopped. So I consider us successful because we look serious enough that people are no longer asking for the source code. Okay, I had an idea of what to show. I need to actually find the picture. In the meantime, if anyone has like a last minute question, we have like a couple minutes left. Doobie. Oh, I missed our Firefox, but we can do that after.
Hello.
Hey.
You were talking before about reconnaissance and spotting vehicles. Would that include ground radar vehicles like the BRM, or maybe something like the VAB the French had?
We're not sure.
The radar
yet.
On top?
Yeah, we're not sure yet.
I don't know much about how ground radar would look to the crew, so it's just kind of an interesting thought if it would show up in game.
Yeah, I mean, they're cool. It's another one of those things where we don't know until we, I don't know, sit down and actually work out what that would take to model and whether we want to go that far.
Yeah, it'd probably be pretty complicated if it's like one of those scanline ones. I don't know how the viewer even works for the BRM-1K.
It would be a fun tech problem to solve, but yeah, it's like, the more new stuff needs to be invented to make something happen, the less likely it becomes. It's
yes, you're like mostly thinking that, like straight optics and then thermal vehicles like the that MM13, the Fist, I think it was.
Yeah, the Fist V. Yeah, because that one doesn't need a new tech stack. That needs like a mechanism for better spotting or whatever. Like, that's pretty easy to make, all things considered, compared to like, how do we make ground radar?
So, yeah, I just don't see the ground radar vehicles portrayed very often.
Yeah,
I mean, I'll wait for a reason. But
yeah, I was gonna
we'll
say,
see if you can pull it off if you ever decide to go down that route.
Well, and any route we decide to go down, we try to do justice. So yeah, we have to pick and choose pretty carefully, kind of like how people ask if the SPAA is going to be playable, like the Shilka, and we don't really know, like.
Yeah, you kind of can ground fire it, but still, like, shooting at aircraft would be, like, a huge undertaking.
Right, so we're not going to have GHPC with, like, the fully modeled fire control systems on everything, and then, like, the optics experience, and then all of a sudden be like, oh, by the way, the Shilka, we've made a fictional Shilka where you do everything through the gun sail, like, War Thunder. Like,
isn't that how the Afghansky sort of works?
When it's in the ground fire role, yeah, but... You know, the Shilka
doesn't it just
still...
have no radar and have no FCS whatsoever? It just kind of shoots at stuff.
That's
I'm not sure how that works.
Correct. I know they did remove the radar in favor of more ammo, but the real SPAA vehicles were, or the standard configurations, they weren't primarily meant to drive around looking for infantry to shred. Right? They were connected to the air defense net, and they were getting.
Yeah, it wouldn't really be a fold a gap kind of thing. That'd be like maybe Syria or, I guess, Afghanistan, like I mentioned.
Yeah, so if we were to do fully modeled SPAA, it would be like you'd be staring at a radar screen and flipping a couple switches and letting the system acquire the target that the command BRDM sent over the net, and then pulling the trigger when you were ready. Like, it's not going to be a...
very interactive process.
Yeah, I mean, it'll still be cool.
Yeah, it would be.
Now,
I kind of wish, back when I did play War Thunder, that they had that. Like, it would just aim for you, because the lead indicator is often very incorrect.
Yeah, I mean, in War Thunder terms, it does aim for you. it's pretty close anyway. But
yeah,
not to sidetrack on War Thunder, just suffice to say, any system that's sufficiently different from what we have now becomes... a wish list item rather than a sure thing, and SPAA is a good example of that.
Another small question I just thought of, how's the PT-76 going to fit into the game as far as when it's going to show up? Is that going to be like a reserve vehicle, or will it be used for recon like the BRDM?
It might end up being both. There's, I mean, the thing about the PT-76 is it wouldn't have been a kind of mainline, you know, first tier sort of vehicle by then.
Yeah, it was meant to be a recon.
Yeah, and it was also very old. And not that the NVA had a lot of choice all the time, but the PT-76 is like, if they're pulling that out a lot, there's probably something a little wrong. I think if it were to drop tomorrow in the game, it would be one of those vehicles that has a higher chance of showing up when the logistics are down.
Yeah.
Reserve vehicle. I don't know what role it'll take in the final game, per se, but...
It should still be somewhat of a threat against stuff like M60s, right? Since it has heat rounds?
It depends.
I'm pretty sure they were mostly using heat. It's a pretty weak round.
Yeah, so it's one of those things, like, you would think it would be good, like the BMP, but it's actually significantly worse, if I remember correctly. So yeah, it's...
I think it drops like 100 millimeters of penetration compared to the BMP-1. It's just like an early RPG, like a very early bad one.
Something like that. All right. I'm going to post one leak. We're a little low on leaks that are ready to show because I have a lot of screenshots of stuff that's upcoming from dev sharing, you know, within the team, but we don't like to show untextured stuff or stuff that's like heavily in prototype phase. We do have a couple of things that are in like near complete form, so I don't know, here's one of them in the voice chat channel, because that one I think is still locked down except for staff. You guys might remember that the Cobra came out with the placeholder dudes as the pilots. That is now going to be corrected. The art team had some time to work on crew models. There's one of them. Now, eventually we do have the intent to replace all of the crew, including the ones inside tanks, with real crew models. Like the tankers with the CVC helmets. I'm sure we've showed those many times by now. I'm not going to repost it. I think they might even be on ArtStation, on Harry's ArtStation, if you look for them. But there were some technical challenges to implementing those originally, which is why we have those like generic-looking dudes, the SWAT guys. Now I think most or all of the technical challenges for getting the real crew models in are gone. So it's just a matter of whenever we decide to put that on the plate, we'll be swapping those in. And you will no longer see dudes with American helmets and plate carriers sitting in T-72s once that's done. No promise on when that happens, though. We'll see. All right. It is now 10 after. That is plenty of time for the Q&A, so thank you all for coming, and we will see you next month for a stream and another Q&A. Once again, people who have MBT tier see extra teasers, cast tier gets the direct dev chat and occasional Discord streams, but no matter what tier you are at, we really appreciate the support. All of you guys have gone above and beyond in helping us get the game done, and we definitely appreciate you being here. So, all right, everybody have a good day.